The new book after this is an exploration of the afterlife that is part personal, part prescriptive. Claire Bidwell Smith invites us on her journey into the unknown, confronting the difficult questions that we all struggle with, such as how do we grieve our loved ones without proof that they live on? Will we ever see them again? How can we make sense of our time here? Claire Bidwell Smith is the author of the book, The Rules of Inheritance. The new book is After This, When Life is Over, Where Do We Go? And we welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What brought you on this discovery, this journey of answering some of these questions?
Initially, I began this journey out of a lot of personal losses. One of my best friends died in my early 20s, and I'd already lost my mother at that point. But it was my friend in her 20s facing death and really afraid of where she was going or not going, and she had a lot of questions. And in her last days, we had a lot of conversations about it. And in one of those youthful moments, I promised her that if she died, I would go and see a psychic medium and see if I could find her. And cut to 10 years later, I am a grief therapist working in hospice, living in Chicago, and seeing grief and death in a whole new realm in my clinical work, and remembered my promise to my friend and decided I would make good on it and go to see a psychic medium. But this was at the time, it had become a conflict at this point because I was a therapist and I was pretty devoted to my clinical work, and this seemed like a real betrayal of the work I was doing. So it was a little bit tricky. I made my reservation with the famous psychic medium John Edward under a false name and didn't tell anybody I was going except my husband. And I went to see him, and my experience was really surprising.
So in that experience, as you say, it was surprising. What were you expecting?
I was very skeptical, so I was expecting it to just be not anything significant. I was also really concerned for the other people who were going. The event I went to was 15 people in a hotel ballroom in Long Island, and I was so concerned about the other people who were going to this. I had to pay $600 to see him that night, and I could only imagine in my grief counselor mind that anyone who was going to Long Island and paying $600 to see this psychic medium must be in a real place of desperation with their grief. And that concerned me, and I felt very protective over the people that were going to be there. And what I found was really surprising. There was actually a surprising amount of healing that went on in that room. And I had been regularly leading grief groups in a hospital in Chicago for people who had just lost a family member in hospice. One of the things that really helped with their grief process was communing with other people who were going through it. And I saw a lot of it in that room that night with John Edward, just people being able to talk about their lost loved ones, bringing them into the room, in a sense, was healing for them and ultimately really cathartic. And then also John Edward was, I have a hard time saying it was real. I still come from a skeptical place, but there were some really uncanny, eerie things that happened that night that really piqued my interest and kind of set me off on a whole journey.
The big question, of course, is it real, or is it what we want to be real?
What I decided about the answer to that question is that I no longer care if it's real, because what I see are benefits from it. For instance, I took one of my very best friends to see another medium named James Somprog a few years ago. My friend had lost her sister to cancer, and following her sister's death, I watched my friend just wither. She lost interest in everything she had previously cared about. She was kind of a shell of herself. And I was doing research, going to see James Somprog. I invited my friend to come with me. It was, again, a large group. It was 100 people that had gone to see him that night. And he read my friend, and her sister came through. And I grew up with my friend, and all the details he brought forth about her sister were just spot on, shockingly so. And I don't know if it's real. You know, I have no idea. But what I saw was my friend transformed following that experience. She went into it skeptical as well. She came out of it still not knowing, but she felt connected to her sister again in a way that really changed her and helped her. And so I found that I wasn't expecting to see that kind of healing happen in these experiences.
How has it changed you as a grief counselor?
I used to work really hard on helping people accept their losses and move on. And now I work to help them accept their losses, but also find ways to stay connected to their loved ones. You know, whether it looks different for everyone, how you stay connected, how you choose to bring people into your lives. And that's what I work to explore with them.
So when you say stay connected, do you mean specifically a medium or other ways as well?
No, other ways. Just bringing your lost loved ones into your lives, making them part of it somehow, whether that's through, you know, honoring things that they had done in their lifetimes, continuing on traditions or rituals or, you know, I my mother was a cook and I bake with my daughters all the time now, and I always talk about my mother when I do. I use recipes she used, and I just kind of bring her into our lives, you know? And my daughters know more about her, and they think about her, and they talk about her, and that's really meaningful to me and to them.
You spoke a moment ago about you felt you were worried about going to a medium you did under a false name because you were worried about crossing a boundary as a grief therapist. How do you feel about that now, and do you refer people to mediums?
I do refer people now. It goes back to this thing. I don't know if it's real, and it still sounds crazy to me sometimes. I hear myself talking about it, and I'm like, oh, I've really gone into that, like, California crazy place. But, I'm not concerned anymore whether or not it's real. I'm more interested in whether or not there are healing benefits to it. And so I don't think everyone who's grieving should see a psychic medium by any means, but I do think for some people it's really helpful. And so I do refer certain people. Mostly I just ask people what would help them feel connected, and we explore different ideas.
When you think about the idea of grief, and obviously this is something that doesn't have an expiration date, And you can feel it today and perhaps not feel it tomorrow and then be in misery 2 days from now. We don't know where it's going to take us and where it will, you know, what will set us off, if you will. But you do talk about how to deal with that, because I guess ultimately it comes from fear, right? It comes from just not knowing, that idea of not knowing.
There's so much anxiety about death, and none of us know. You know, we don't know when we're going to go. We don't know how we're going to go. We don't know where we're going to go. And that can create an incredible amount of anxiety. And so that was a big part of the journey of the book for me, was trying to alleviate that anxiety for myself and for others. And I found multiple ways to do that. One of my favorite things that I did for the book was a series of long conversations with a rabbi talking about Judaism, which I hadn't been very familiar with previous to our conversations. And, you know, one of his take on it was that we shouldn't be so concerned about the afterlife. We should stop asking so many questions about it, stop wondering about it, and just focus on being present, being here right now, because really it's out of our hands. It's all we can do is be here right now, be the best person we can be, the best parent, the best spouse, the best worker, leave this world a better place than it was when we came into it. And there's some real relief in that for me, you know, just taking the pressure off. And just being present.
That idea of anxiety, what do you think causes that primarily?
Sadness, you know, fear of more loss of, I think I see anxiety in my clients more than any other trait. And it just comes from, you know, feeling so vulnerable from losing someone that you love so much and feeling the floor come out from underneath you, not knowing what's happening next, really facing mortality. And it's a tough one. And I think there's a lot of great practices out there that can help with it. I'm a real fan of mindfulness and Buddhism. And again, it just kind of goes back to the rabbi of just being present, not focusing so much on the future, not dwelling so much on the past, but being here right now.
So in these situations where you have done this and other people that you know have contacted those that have lost, and as you say, in a way of connecting with them, do you learn anything from that experience that is that answers the question on the front of the book, which is, where do we go?
You know, I do believe in an afterlife now. I don't know. I couldn't describe it to you in detail, but I went into the experience thinking that there was really nothing, and I came out of it believing that there is something. I believe that it's challenging for us to understand it in the human form that we're in, you know, given the dimensional space we occupy here. I feel like it's a different kind of time and space dimension. This is where I get start to go into my weird stuff. It's hard to explain, and I think it's really individual for everybody.
I think it's fascinating that you've written a book on this, you've obviously been thinking about it a lot, and you're still, I mean, I feel that you're uncomfortable sometimes saying the words.
Yeah, my whole goal with it, though, was to just open up to the idea. I went into it all so closed off to it, and after my mother died, which was a really painful experience for me in my late teens, I kind of shut down. I shut down to all spirituality, to religion, to an openness about that. And that was the thing I mostly wanted to change, which I did. But it's still hard for me to say, like, I believe in psychic mediums or talk about my really deep spiritual ideas now. But I wanted to just bridge the gap. I mean, there were so many books out there that ask the reader to accept where the author is, you know, some blind faith or a near-death experience or a past life that they had. And they're asking us as readers to just go right into that and say, yes, this is real, I accept it. And I wasn't able to do that. I would read these books and I would love the idea. Oh, it sounds awesome that there's this beautiful heaven or that we are reincarnated or whatever it was. But it was hard to accept that, not having experienced it myself. So I wanted to write a book that allowed people to just explore, not necessarily have to accept it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It seems to me that this all gets down to, and I'm a firm believer in this, which is whatever gets you through it, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
if this is a situation where going to the medium helps you, well, then why not?
Exactly.
And if that is sitting in a cemetery and talking to the stone, and that gives you comfort and relief, well, then okay.
Exactly.
It seems that the problem is, again, the fear of the unknown, of not knowing of what you're doing is, quote-unquote, the right thing.
That's right. But if it feels good, then I think there's a lot of value in that. And one of the things I've been doing that's changed a lot in the last few years has been talking to my daughters about death a lot. And I didn't talk about death when I was growing up. We didn't talk about it. I didn't explore it. I didn't deal with it until it happened to me. But so we've been talking about it a lot. My girls are very aware that my parents are gone, that I work in that realm a lot. And they talk to my parents all the time. The other day I was sitting around with my daughters and we were talking about my mom and I just kind of said offhandedly, oh, I really miss her. I wish I could talk to her. And my oldest daughter, Vera, looked at me and she's like, Mom, you can. Just talk to her. And she started talking to her. And I just think that's so great, you know?
It is great. And helpful when you see that that's how another generation looks at it.
Right. Like, I would hope that now, if I were to die tomorrow, my daughter would feel open to just talking to me and staying connected to me,
right.
Which was not something I had when my mother died.
The name of the book is After This, When Life is Over, Where Do We Go? It is published by Avery. Clara Bidwell-Smith, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Again, the title of the book is After This. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.